hope you got your Bibles ready to go, because we are over here again in today in the book of Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28, we're going to read verse 1 through 5, pray, and see what God's got for us today. Verse number 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And the Lord being our helper today, we'd like to bring our devotional on this thought, starting out. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all the multitudes of blessings you bestowed upon us. We pray, Father, for your blessings today upon this devotional. Help us, God, please, to take in all that you've got in your word for us, Lord. Thank you, God, for all the multitudes of blessings you bestowed upon us, especially that greatest one of all, salvation. And we ask, Father, for your help in this time, Lord, that we get in your word and learn, study, see what all that you've got for us in your holy word, so that we can grow to be the Christians that you'd have us to be. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Starting out. So Jacob has the birthright, he's got the blessing, and now it is time to go get a bride. After receiving his marching orders from his father, Jacob began his 17-day journey to his uncle Laban's house. During this time, Jacob had an unexpected encounter with God, though. It must have been something else, because Jacob understood his return trip would only happen by way of God. Now let's start where he is sent out in verse 1 to 5. Toward the end of our last chapter, Rebekah had suggested to Isaac a way out. Her ultimatum was that Jacob needed a bride from back home because the local women weren't good enough. Isaac at this point had come to grips with the fact you can't change God's plans, and that Jacob ain't safe there right now. So he sends him 450 miles away with the charge for where he is to go and what he is to do once there. God Almighty is invoked, or El Shaddai, which means sovereign power. This is the same name that God used of himself when he reaffirmed his covenant to Abraham back in chapter 17, verse number 1. I'm sure Isaac is invoking this name now to encourage both himself and Jacob. Remember, he's sending his boy away for safety's sake. Isaac is certainly thinking more clearly here than in the previous chapter. Thus, he asserts that the Abrahamic covenant is to pass over to Jacob. And don't worry about there being no mention of land here either, by the way, folks. Because that exclusion here doesn't change the promises of God any. I would also add this, that Jacob was pretty much domesticated. So going out on the road like this was probably quite a bit different for him. One thing that wasn't different was Esau's attitude. As such, we see his strategy in verses 6 to 9. Esau gets that while his first two wives had suited him just fine, his parents felt differently. He may have even felt that Isaac was in a roundabout way charging him to get a wife from their kinfolk, and maybe by doing this he could work his way into getting that blessing. We've got to see. He had no spiritual depth in his plan, though. He was only trying to please man by going and getting this additional wife from Ishmael's daughters. What he forgot, though, was that Ishmael was a son of Abraham. His line had been rejected by God. So he wasn't just adding a good wife, he was adding another pagan wife to his harem. As for Jacob, we now move on to his slumber, verses 10 to 15. He spent his first night on the road at Luz, or what would become Bethel, which was about 50 miles north of Beersheba. He had his famous ladder dream, which we don't see again in Scripture until John chapter 1, verse number 51. Now, the ladder for Jacob represented his potential fellowship with God, providing he followed God's way. It showed the distance between the soul of man and God because of our sin, as well as a graphic representation of God's involvement in the affairs of this world. The angels going up and down represent God's free grace as they carry out His will and deliver His messages. What God is doing here in Jacob's dream is giving him confirmation of the promised covenant with Abraham and Isaac to Jacob. And all three phases of it represent the land, the seed, and the blessing. So even though Jacob is being forced to depart his home, it wouldn't have any bearing on those promises, nor be a hindrance to his eventual return, which of course would bring comfort to Jacob while he was staying over in Haran. Now, this dream was certainly a surprise. See that in verse 16 and 17. How dreadful is this place? He was a practicing sinner who probably felt like he had left God back in Beersheba. You know, God's over there, God's not here. He hadn't come here to learn about God, yet he discovered God was there as well and wanted him of all people. How does that work? Now, there really was something spiritual to the blessing and birthright. It wasn't just words that the dad passed down to the son. There was substance to this. Wow. As a result of this dream, Jacob got some much-needed encouragement. I wish we could say he was a changed man, but that won't fully come for a few more years. In the meantime, we see a solemn oath, verses 18 to 22. His first time with direct contact with God resulted in his vow, which showed that he saw his need for divine presence and favor. Erecting the stone and anointing it was a common practice back then. By changing the location's name, offering this oil, and vowing allegiance to God for his divine protection and blessing was all part of his ceremonial consecration. I would also like to point out that this is the second time the tithe is mentioned, and there's still no Levitical law having been established. So the tithe predates that law, which means that we all should be tithing. On a down note, this could easily have been just a plot by Jacob as a means of bargaining with God as opposed to being any form of true worship. You know, hey God, look what I'm doing here for you. You know. As I said earlier, it would be about 40 years before Jacob returns home. And that return trip will definitely, something is going to take note of. The time in between won't be very encouraging, but then again, we are kind of just getting started with good old Jacob. For now, though, we leave off here, and I thank you for your attention.